I think I would spend maybe 2 or 3 hours every day.
On average, I spend about 3 to 5 hours a day scrolling, looking at videos and messaging.
Definitely half an hour when I wake up, half an hour before I go to bed, and a few hours in between.
It does feel like you're sort of doing it to escape from reality.
In the morning, I just can't get out of bed until I've clicked on every single one of them.
The aftermath is that I feel like I just wasted a whole lot of time.
Scrolling through our social media feels like a harmless part of our everyday lives, but several recent studies have suggested that there's a link between how we use online platforms and how they affect our mental health. To get a clearer picture, I spoke with 3 professionals in different areas of the field to hear their thoughts on the topic. Dr. Brad Redoubt is a cyberpsychologist in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Sydney University and is a firm believer that for the most part, social media does more good than harm.
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is that a lot of the research has been correlational to date, which means that while young people especially suffering from depression are often heavy users of Facebook, it's not clear whether their depression is causing them to spend more time on social media or if it's the other way around.
Often people with social anxiety feel like they can't communicate face-to-face, and sites like Facebook and Instagram offer a place to connect online. Do you think that social media can reduce feelings of social disconnection?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been studies for some time showing that people who are isolated or suffer from social phobia can get a great deal of benefit through social media and having that kind of control over how they interact from the comfort of wherever they are. We're actually seeing that young people, if they do have mental health issues, often go online before they even come close to seeking help in person. So they're seeking support from people going through the same things, usually anonymously, but also through Facebook groups and things like that, and taking advantage of the opportunities provided by social media to connect with other people. However, most online groups young people visit aren't run or monitored by health professionals. And that's where the research that we're doing here in the cyberpsychology research group steps in, where we're working closely with Kids Helpline to build the world's first secure and anonymous social media platform for supporting the mental health of young people using online group counselling.
Sydney psychologist Jocelyn Brewer is the creator of Digital Nutrition, a framework for maintaining a healthy relationship with technology. Jocelyn, do you think there is a link between social media use and rates of mental health issues in young people?
It's a really good question and it's a very tricky one. There are lots of studies that point the finger quite clearly, mostly to do with really excessive uses of social media. But what the research doesn't do is sort of dig into the content of what we're actually consuming when we're on social media. There's lots of different ways that we can see things online and make meaning out of that, which might be leaning us towards that depressive and anxious cognition. I can look at people doing, you know, yoga in Bali and having these amazing lives and go, yeah, that looks great, but actually I know that that is designed to get me to like things and kind of buy into that. So what we need, I guess, is a bit of media literacy in terms of understanding that.
So is there an ideal way to use social media?
I think our tech use is a very personal thing. It's all about checking in with, you know, did how I just spent that last 25 minutes feel good? Did it contribute to my life? Was it being mindful and really present in the things that I was doing? Or was it kind of checked out and mindlessly scrolling? And sometimes there's a place for that, you know. Sometimes we need to kind of check out and relax.
Dr. Redoubt says it's all about balancing our time online.
Like everything with technology or life in general, it's about moderation and it's about being mindful. You know, a good tip might be to start tracking how you actually use your phone and social media in particular. And some people might be quite shocked to realise how much time they're actually spending. Our phones are designed to distract us and suck us into their vortex at every opportunity. So take the power back and decide when you check your apps rather than the other way around.
Do you think that some social media sites promote a fairly curated and idealised view of life that might affect people's self-esteem?
Yeah, absolutely. A recent survey conducted in Australia found that 2/3 of young people feel pressure to look good on social media. And those who use Instagram were almost twice as likely to have low self-esteem as people who don't use Instagram. But social comparison is an unfortunate byproduct of social media. There's been a number of studies now that have shown that the more people see happy status updates and unrealistic presentations of people's lives, say their friends living up on holidays or, you know, following glamorous people on Instagram, can leave us feeling like everyone else is living more exciting lives than we are, and our mundane behind-the-scenes access to our real life simply can't compete with the perfect highlights reel that we see of others.
Is envy on social media a bad thing?
There's two types of envy, malicious and benign. Benign envy produces a levelling up motivation. It encourages us to self-improve and achieve our goals, and it's a positive thing in our life, whereas malicious envy produces a levelling down motivation. So, you know, we feel like tearing down the other person because we're envious of them. And the research suggests that the higher number of strangers you follow on Instagram has been associated with leading to feelings of depression.
When I used to follow certain accounts, I would come away from it feeling really horrible about myself and thinking, if only I was in a certain place or at a certain stage of my life or had a certain thing, then I would feel happier.
Well, I think it depends on the time that you spend on it. And if you spend a short time, you actually do feel good because you feel connected and you know what your friends are up to.
I can feel when it's getting too much. Like, it gets really addictive.
Nick Dygan is a senior clinical advisor at Headspace, the National Youth Mental Health Foundation that provides early intervention support for 12 to 25-year-olds across Australia. Through his work at Headspace, he's seen both the pros and cons of social media use in young people.
It can be a great tool to connect and to stay connected with friends. It can also be a really helpful tool for seeking support. And in many parts of Australia, people are encouraged to use social media as a platform to communicate the kind of status of their well-being.
Can you tell us a bit about how spending a lot of time online can potentially affect mental health?
Yeah, so there is compelling research coming out about the relationship between volume of screen time. And what it's finding is that beyond 2 hours a day of screen time, the correlation with poor health outcomes starts to become really quite strong as the hours increase. So for young people that are spending 6, 7, 8 hours online, that is having a significant impact on their mental health. And when people are spending a lot of time online, they're typically isolated and sedentary. So they're sitting down on a couch or a computer screen. There's much less time left in the day for them to be active. And we know that being active is a really important part of staying mentally and physically healthy. But what is becoming more clear through the research that's being done is that time spent online is more predictive of mental health outcomes than the particular applications that are being used.
Dr. Redoubt believes that the media is often part of the problem and that actually social media does a lot of good.
The media unfortunately often jumps to conclusions and makes sweeping statements about social media based on little to no scientific evidence. So it's probably a stretch to say that it's to blame. And there's clearly broader cultural and societal factors at play. And yeah, not to mention the higher levels of stress that young people face today, which social media contributes to. But social media is also contributing to destigmatizing depression and leading to more people seeking help. And therefore, that's potentially why we're also seeing a rise in figures of reports of depression and self-harm, because people who, you know, were maybe suffering in silence in the past finally seeking help.
So it seems fair to say that while social media does have an impact on our mental health, it comes down to how we use it, what we view, and how much time we spend online. If you or anyone you know needs help, reach out and talk to someone at Lifeline 13 11 14.